Oh, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. I've got a little project today I'm gonna do, and I was gonna do it without filming it. And I'm like, no, let me go ahead and film it. I'm making some hive stands. This is not an original design. This design that I'm gonna make for these hive stands, and I've got an example here, and there's one down there, is kind of a copy of what they sell on Betterbee. Wooden hive stands. I think on Betterbee they're like $60, $70 plus shipping. Unless you pick them up at the expo or something. And it's really pretty easy to make if you've got any woodworking skills, and I'm talking basic woodworking skills. The tools you have might make it even easier, and I'll show you some things on the table saw and the chop saw a little bit later that show you exactly how I do this. But in typical fashion, I kind of want to show you what I'm going to do and then do it and then maybe talk about how it was done and why we changed the design. The important thing about making anything with measurements on it is think about what you need it for. And I looked at those designs from a few folks on the internet, made them on YouTube, and thank you all to that led before me on doing this. And I was starting to think about my apiary and how I use them. And the reason I'm gonna build some hive stands is kind of a lead into another video I'm gonna do a little bit later. I'm gonna use the Demaray method this year on splitting my hives to make some monster hives, hopefully. And with that being said, my cinder block and 4x4 type of stand, I'm a little worried about the vertical nature of the Demaray split being a little tippy. So I want each stand to be kind of on its own. And it's also kind of a good practice to have each stand on its own if it fits your apiary, because of the bumping and knocking and you know, cracking of hives right next door to another hive. The bees feel that even if you're not into their hive. So being on an individual stand, they're kind of isolated, and it's definitely easier to move around a little bit too. So that's the reason I'm going to individual hive stands on a portion of my yard. So I was looking at the design I found, and what I really liked about some of the designs people were putting out there was essentially a 2x6x8. So a 96-inch 2x6, and I've got one right here, by 6 inches, which is actually 5.5 inches, is all you need to make this hive stand right here. Now it's pretty low to the ground, and here's an example here. So it's lower than my current hive, but also if a hive gets this high working up top, it will be much, much easier. And you know, pulling off those supers is gonna be just at about the right height. Working brood chambers will be a little bit low on these stands. But I like the fact that they were basically using a 96 inch board by itself to do. So the considerations I had was I've got 96 inches to work with. What do I think about the width, about the height, and the depth of the stand? And I changed it up a little bit. So this is what I came up with. And I've taped it on here like you guys have given me feedback that you like to do. The width, the wider angle, is for the brood chamber to go on like that. The width is 20 inches or 508 millimeters. And I wish we were using millimeters too. But 20 inches is what we're using here. The depth or the length back is 14 3/4. Now, I set that dimension specifically for a reason. And the reason is I use Broodminder hive scales. And some of my Broodminder bases on my bottom boards have feet on them, and they need something to set on. And all of my Broodminder scales have exactly 12 inches between feet. So what 14 3/4 gives me is my 12 inches is on center with these ripped 2x6s. So this 14 3/4, I'm not messing with. That's firm for me because that is the point at which my hive scale feet will center on these top boards. Okay, and one thing you might notice if you've watched any designs of this, all of these boards are vertically, except for my top boards, and that's another change in my designs. I turn my top boards on the sides so it's a little bit wider so that my hive scales have a little bit more room to sit on than just the top of a 2x piece of lumber. So my top boards are flat, noticeable difference. And essentially the leftovers from those dimensions that I've already decided is what I have left for the feet, which is why it's kind of an odd number. 13 1/4 inches or 337 millimeters is the height of these feet. The legs. And you might notice the legs have a wedge shape. They're wider at the bottom for stability and narrowed up top. And essentially, we'll do this later on the saw. This is essentially just one piece of wood that's cut at an angle. That's probably the trickiest cut if you don't have a table saw or a band saw or something like that. You can do it with a regular old circular saw. You're just gonna have to stabilize it really well and follow the line exactly as you trace it. And I use 2 inches up here, but this dimension isn't as important as just the fact that it's wider at the bottom than the top here. So the 2 inches is the only thing I don't have marked that is actually something I did here. So one other point I wanna make is say, why did you choose 20 inches wide, Chuck? Because, and also, let me back up a little bit. The other thing I want you to notice is there's a 3/4 inch gap here. And the reason for that gap is so that you have a little bit of, it won't slide off. You know, you move this around, it gives a little bit of a lip. That was a little bit of a design change I made also in the height, on how I fastened these legs on. I wanted a little bit of a lip. But then you might say, Chuck, why did you choose 20 inches? Because your deep Langstroth is not 20 inches. It's actually, what, 16 and change. So see, I have a lot of room here. Well, I thought about how I use hive stands and how I sometimes, you know, if I lose a hive and I go back to a nuke box, I might want some more room. And my current structure of having cinder blocks and 4x4s, I can move and slide things around however I want. Now that I'm going to these single stands, I'm gonna lose a little bit of that versatility. So what I decided was to make it a little bit wider, and the width I chose was in case I took 2 5-frame nukes and set them side by side. So here is an example. You know, nukes can be 9, 9.5 inches wide, depending on how you do it. I decided, you know, if I wanted to put 2 nukes on a stand, I had a little bit of room to work with, by going to 20 inches. If I'd have gone straight to 18 inches, these nukes would have barely fit on here or might have even been sitting on this little lip on some of my wider nukes made out of 3/4 inch plywood. These are much lighter nukes made out of thinner plywood. So the biggest nukes made out of 1 inch or 3/4 inch wouldn't fit on this stand. So that's how I came up with 20 inches, was trying to think of how I'm gonna use these stands and setting possibly 2 nukes on it. But generally, it's just gonna be a bottom board with a deep Langstroth. And with this little extra room, I might even have room here to set a frame on this stand while I'm working instead of hanging it or setting it on the ground. And I do that with my outer edge frame. So if the outer edge frame just has a few bees on it, I look for the bees and I typically set it right here leaning on the box. So I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this intro part here. And the next part is gonna be the build. I'm gonna take this board right here, which is a 96 incher, just like you could buy at any hardware store, at least in America. Pressure treated is probably best. I did use cedar on these because I had some scrap, and I did use some wood glue, Tight Bond 3 on the bottom to make the feet a little bit more water impervious. I'm debating on whether or not I'm gonna paint them or not. Probably not going to, but I'm thinking about it. I know they'll last longer if I paint them. But there's a lot of nooks and crannies in here to paint if I don't want to use a sprayer. So let's do this. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to make our cuts, and we'll do this together. But and it's so simple. I'm going to make I need 2 20-inch boards because, look, I got 1, 2, 3, 4 of them here, and these are cut in half. I need 2 14 3/4-inch boards, so because there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of those pieces, and that's going to be cut in half. And I need 2 13 1/4-inch boards, because here's 1, 2, 3, 4 that are going to be cut at an angle. And then we'll just assemble it. And assembling it is really easy. The strength in this to keep it from racking and shaking is these legs having wood screws. And the fact that I use wood glue in all of this, it's not going anywhere. You could argue that you need to screw every single one of these pieces in. I didn't. I just toenailed and glued. I'm using these pieces with wood screws going in this direction to give the strength of the part. All right, I'm probably gonna fast forward to the labor cutting, but I'll talk to you at each section about how I'm setting it up, and then we'll assemble it, and when we're done, we'll have an extra hive stand. Stick with me. All right, folks, we're inside the shop. I'm not gonna insult your intelligence by telling you how to cut a board, but I'm just gonna walk you through what I'm doing, have the camera rolling. Essentially, like I said outside, we need 2 20-inchers, 2 14¾ inches and 2 13¼ inches. And that should use up the most of this board, but I'm gonna go ahead and cut it up. And just to show you how much those measurements add up to 96 when you do two legs each. So in any case, I'm just gonna fast forward through this and maybe even play some music so you don't have to listen to the entire saw, but here I go cutting them up. Okay, so that was pretty straightforward. You probably said, look at him, he's cutting a board. But there's an important thing to recognize. There is zero left over here. And the reason is I made those measurements to use up the entire board. But let's say you were off a little bit, and let's say you got to the very end. And the reason you want to cut your legs last and in that order is because the legs are where you can mess up a little bit on. You can mess up on anything, but the legs are where I would take off an extra quarter of an inch if I had to. So you cut your 2 20-inchers, you cut your 2 14¾. Those are your sides, right, that are gonna build up the frame. These last two pieces are your legs that you're gonna cut out. I ended up needing to take 1 millimeter off. So the secret to that last section is cut that last board in half. If it's a little bit longer, guess what? Your stand's gonna be an extra quarter inch higher. That's fine. So take that last remaining piece of board and cut it in half. And those are your legs. The dimension doesn't matter because these are going to be vertical, not making a square. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, so now to how we cut this up. Once again, I'm not going to insult you, but the way I have cut this design is I use 2 inches at the top. So I'm just going to mark 2 inches on the edge here and mark 2 inches on the opposite edge here. And I'm going to take my square and just make a nice line between these two. And then I have a jig. I'm not expecting every one of you to have this jig on your table saw, but if you do, it sure as heck does make angle cuts pretty easy. And for those of you that are interested in that, I'll show you that in a second, but we'll just go ahead and make this line. 2 inches, and now this is essentially gonna make two legs out of each board. And honestly, with my jig, I don't even need this line. If you were using a circular saw or a band saw or something else, you do need the line. So I'm just drawing it. But all right. And this precision doesn't matter. This is just the angle of the leg. Okay, let me take you over to the table saw. Stick with me. All right, on my table saw, I've got this sled. I use micro jigs on. If you don't know what a micro jig is, they essentially do these dovetail brackets. But what it allows me to do is I can take this angle, and I'm just gonna put that angle to where the line gets taken away by the kerf, and I'm just gonna bring my micro jig up and secure this down. Double check your line is gonna get cut by the kerf. Make sure your blade height is up, and we're gonna cut it. Thank you. Okay, four legs, pretty easy peasy. You gotta admit, that jig sure as heck did make that easy, didn't it? Gonna leave these on. All right, so now I'm gonna show you how I set up for cutting boards in half. Now, many of you may go, well, that's pretty insulting. I know how to cut a board in half. Well, in case you don't know how to cut a board in half, I'm gonna show you a quick, easy trick. First of all, so you know, this is a 5.5 inch board, right? You know, pretty closely to that. So half of that is 2 3/4. So what I do is I put a line here on 2 3/4. Now that is close to the middle, but everybody's fence might not be as accurate. So what you need to do is set your fence close. And now you need to see where that is gonna get cut. And then move your fence so that when you turn the board around, it's exactly in the center on both of them, both directions. There. That's pretty close. So now my fence is locked down. I like to keep my blade height just above the board. So if I do cut my hand, I'm only gonna cut portions of it. All right, here we go. We're gonna cut four boards straight in a row. All right, now we have all of our boards cut in half. Since they're all the same dimension, we're able to just rip through those. A little extra dust because I forgot to convert my dust collector to the table saw. All right, so we've got all of our parts. Now all we're gonna do is put it together. So stick with me. All right, I'm back. So let's put this thing together. I've got all my pieces set outside. Here's my legs, right? They're the ones cut at an angle. I'm putting them on last. I'm just gonna make some room by setting them to the side. And now we've got our short pieces and our long pieces. Remember, these are 14 3/4. These are 20. The dimensions don't matter at this point because you've already cut them. But I'll just say that, you know, you might want to put this together ahead of time with the forethought of why you have the dimensions you do, and which is the width and which is the length, and think about how you're going to use it. You remember I said my hive scales are going to go essentially on to the long boards, right? So essentially the top is going to be these 20 inchers. And I want to choose the best boards I have so that my hive has got the best surface to set on. And that's two good surfaces there. So these are going to be my top two boards. I'm going to set them to the side. And these are going to be part of the frame structure. So we have shorts and longs. And you might want to assemble this loosely, just set it aside so you get your mind how it goes together. Because I would argue that 3 in 10 people would put this together wrong and have to undo something. So think about it. If the longs are on top, then the shorts are on bottom if you got an even number. So it's going to go short, long, short, and then my long board's on top, right? So let's go ahead and just set the shorts down, kind of get an idea of how this is going to go together. Just like that. And remember, my longs are going flat for my hive scales on top. So that's essentially how it's gonna go together. So maybe you wanna unassemble it in an order. So when you put it together, you've essentially got it right. So this is how I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna assemble it in order, and I'll probably fast forward and give you something groovy to listen to. Sit back. Let me mention one more thing, because I don't wanna talk while I'm assembling it. I am gonna be applying glue to each joint and toenailing with just some, you know, small little brads. This is to hold it in place while I'm assembling it, and also so that I can get the legs, you know, so it's a rigid square so I can get the legs in place with the heavy wood screws. That's essentially what I'm doing. So I'm not nailing yet. I'm not screwing yet, but I'm gonna nail all the way through. All right, enjoy. Okay, welcome back. So, pretty straightforward. Now, I just glued and toenailed, and honestly, I don't know if you saw, I was just making sure everything was centered. If there's a millimeter here, millimeter there, listen, we're making a hive stand. We're not making furniture. Don't worry about that sort of stuff. Just remember to get your long pieces flat if you're following my design. These could go vertically if you wanted. If you don't have hive scales, it doesn't need to be flat for the hive. But remember, this is where the hive is standing, and then the part that most people could mess up is this next part, is the legs. You gotta think about where your legs go. The legs go on the sides. So you might go, okay, it's gonna go like that. Nope, I want the curve on the outside to give even more width. So the legs go on the sides, just like this, okay? But you see, you need kind of a jig to get that 3/4 of an inch trick I was telling you about, because obviously you don't want to nail that because that's laying flat on the ground and this has got 4 inches. This is how I do it. 3/4 of an inch plywood, any sort of a distance, and all this is going to do is make that gap for the top edge. But in order to do this, you've got to turn your hive stand upside down and set it on top of these shims like that. So now, you are essentially, remember now, this is the bottom, this is the top. You're gonna put the feet on like that, and there's your 3/4 of an inches. That is the part that perhaps isn't intuitively obvious on how this little jig helps. Now, you can do this 1,000 different ways, measuring it, lining it up, drilling it. I just wanted to be able to quickly have 3/4 of an inches, inch go around, and then glue and screw these all up. Now, I didn't mention this earlier. I'm using wood screws that are designed for 2x. They're 3 inches. And I like to pre-drill so they go straight in. So there's a little bit of a pre-drill technique I do for this. So I'm just going to talk all the way. Well, actually, I'm going to shut up and let you watch me. But I'm going to put this closest to me here so maybe you can see a little bit from the side. I can't really stand as well over here in front of the camera, so I'll try to do this at an angle for you, how I do this. Mistakes I almost made? Like I said, there were 2 or 3 times I almost put the feet on backwards. But I will tell you that the square that I didn't talk about before kind of helps you, because you can't put a square up against this edge and it'll work, right? So if you put the square on there, it'll also keep you from making that mistake of setting it on there backwards. But here we are. There's the edge. You can kind of see. What I like to do here at this point, now that it's fully assembled and ready to go, and this hive stand is, I don't have a Deepa anymore to show you, is ready to go. It's solid. Obviously, the glue setting up would be a little bit important. I like, this is me, like I said, I haven't decided if I'm going to paint these. I like to put Tight Bond 3 exterior wood glue on end grains that are going to be exposed to moisture. So here on these top edges, and these bottom feet that are gonna be in the dirt, I'm gonna do this Tight Bond 3 technique just to add some additional water protection to it. It just kind of keeps water from soaking in to the obvious end grains and things like that, where the water might sit instead of run off, even on the edges a little bit too, all the way around. Just kind of give a little bit of cap. Technique, not required. Obviously, painting it would probably be the best thing to do. Wax dipping it if you got a wax dipper. I don't have one of those. So anyway, there I am, finished. assembling these hive stands. This is number 3. I need to make 6 of them, 6 or 7. I'm doing this all out of scrap. I've got plenty of 2x leftovers. This does not need to be pristine wood. Pressure treated would be best for long last, especially if you're not gonna set it on some sort of concrete pad or paver, if it's gonna be right in the dirt. But you know what, this is gonna last long time, no matter what. This is solid. And I don't know if you can tell, there's no racking at all. And I just toenailed it. These screws on these legs are what's holding this together from racking. So yeah, let me know what you think in the comments below. If you guys appreciate this kind of a demonstrate, then do, you know, kind of a video. It seems like I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on that. Maybe I'll continue down that angle. And remember, as a teaser, the reason I'm building these stands is because I'm going to do the Demaray method this year on my big hives for swarm prevention. Maybe get a bigger honey crop. I've never done it before, but I'd like to learn a little bit about it and try it in my own apiary. But of course, I'll give you guys somehow I'm going to do it sort of videos ahead of that. Anyway, see you next time. Thanks for joining. Subscribe and let me know what you think below. Have a great day, everybody.